tragic thought that the Lord expects us to treat each other. Now, I know the golden rule per se is not in the Bible, but the principle is in the Bible. We're supposed to treat each other right. And we're supposed to try to take care of folks. And some folks call things karma. The Bible calls things sowing and reaping, amen? So the way we treat others is the way we'll likely be treated by others. But more importantly, the way we treat others is likely to be the way we're treated by the Lord. And we look at the book of Matthew and he says, forgive, you should be forgiven. And I know we're not talking about the same dispensation. I know we're not talking about church age salvation there, but I do believe that the Bible principles are Bible principles, amen. And if you want God to forgive you and be continually merciful, long-suffering with you, we need to learn how to be continually merciful and long-suffering with other people. And good night. If other people are like, well, think about you. If other people are like me, they're going to need mercy. Right? If other people are like you, help me out here, they're going to need mercy. And if other people can be like I can be, they're going to need somebody to be long-suffering with them, amen. But the Lord's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If you think about that verse, I mean, that blows Calvinism plumb out of the water. And it blows hyper-dispensationalism plumb out of the water, in a sense, because he's not through with Israel. The Old Testament's still important for the church. And we went through and talked about this a little bit Wednesday night about, you know, there are folks that believe that only the New Testament's for the church age. You shouldn't read the Old Testament. There are folks that believe only Paul's writings. And yet I showed you and we looked at instances in Paul's writings where Paul himself said that the Old Testament was written for our learning and admonition. Amen. God's not through with Israel. And I'll tell you, that principle can be carried over. Actually, the principle started in Genesis when God said, I'll bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. When he was talking to Abram, when he was talking about Israel in the beginning. And that's still today. If the United States of America wants God to be long-suffering and merciful to us as a nation, we need to be long-suffering and merciful with Israel. Now look, Israel, they're lost. The biggest part of those folks over there, they're lost. But they are still God's Old Testament chosen people, and he's going to turn back to them, amen? He still cares for Israel. He didn't quit caring for Israel. When your children go haywire, and they will if they're yours, amen? Because that's what happens. They get us as patterns, and then they end up... When they go haywire, and you punish them, and you break fellowship with them even... You don't do it because you hate them. You don't do it because you want to see them destroyed. You do it because you want to see them get to the limit where they finally turn back to truth and turn back to obedience. And that's what God's done with Israel. And boy, he has a plan. God's plan is always right. And that plan is going to involve us being out of here for too long. Amen. 10:30, 10:45 work. Brother Jim says, yeah, amen. And maybe not. But the folks that are left here after that, I mean, we grieve the ones that have gone on before us, but look what they've got. They're saved. They're in the presence of Jesus Christ. They're not fighting the flesh like you and I do. They're not worried ever about what the president's going to do. Amen. They could care less about the next election. Amen. They're not worried about whether, you know, ground beef's going to be $5 a pound. Gasoline's going to be $6.25 a gallon. They're not worried about that stuff. That stuff's over. All they're doing is worshiping, glorifying Jesus Christ for eternity. No more heartache, no more pain, no more sorrow. God's going to wipe away all tears one day. And all of us that have trusted Christ are going to be forever joyful in his presence, just honoring and glorifying him. We'll finally know what worship really means. You know, there's a battle down here on what worship means. And to be honest with you, the ones that think they're doing it right still don't understand what worship is. Because we really don't know who God is. We've got an idea. But he's much bigger and much more awesome than our little finite minds can understand. And then truthfully, if you're walking with Him, you'll know Him more in your heart than you will in your mind. Because you can feel and be guided by it more than you can explain who He is. Amen. But He's a long-suffering God, and He expects us to be the same way. That's a good verse. I think anybody that gets married, that ought to be their verse. Amen. For the wives. That God is long-suffering. So y'all need to be long-suffering with us men. Amen. But you know, when God says, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, He means that for salvation. That's why, you know, we're talking about the rapture, and we're looking to get out of here. But the reason we're not leaving right this second is because God's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to have their last chance before He calls us out of here. I believe that. There's going to be a time where He says, look, that it's over, and nobody's going to accept me anymore. I'm done. And He's going to call us out. And we are selfish in the respect we want to be out of here. You know, a lot of times we want to be out of here away from things instead of to things. Amen? We want to be to Christ. We want to be more. We're going to be like Him, amen, and be with Him in heaven forever. But a lot of times we just want to be out of here because we're tired of the grind down here. We're tired of fighting the flesh. We're tired of the wickedness of this world. And it does. It's weary. It'll wear you down, and it vexes your soul to see what's going on. It hurts you and bothers you in a way as a saved person a lot of times that you can't explain what's going on in this world. I mean, you'll hear somebody say something about, you wouldn't believe what Trump did, or you wouldn't believe what Biden did, and then they'll give some kind of a financial response, like, that's going to do this to us, or that to us, or this to them, or this, you know. When the truth is that what bothers us, we can't even really explain. It's something you couldn't explain. Another saved person, you can go, yeah, we have the same spirit on this. But you couldn't explain it to a lost person. How it bothers you in your soul that they're getting further away from Jesus Christ and the truth. By the way, that being said, we'll chase this rabbit because this rabbit's big enough to eat. We'll chase it. We need to be praying about this. The Supreme Court is hearing a case on the liberals versus Mississippi on abortion. And there's one right behind that that I believe is from Texas. And we don't have great people running anything anywhere, but we do have some good Catholics up there that want to do right when it comes to abortion. Then we have Clarence Thomas. I believe that guy's saved. He just wants to do right. I really do. But there's a big chance that God could be a lot happier with this country in 4, 5, 6 months down the road, depending on which way that decision goes. You know? And I think the devil understands that too, and there's going to be a spiritual war going on here for the next several months. We need to be praying for the Supreme Court justices to get saved and to make right decisions, amen, if they're not saved. But to make right decisions, even if they're lost, and God will use them to glorify Him, praise God. But we want them to get saved. If they get saved, that'd straighten out 90% of the mess. Amen. But He's long-suffering with us, and He expects us to be that way with others. Again, verse 21:13 of Proverbs says, the question here is, who will not be heard by the Lord? Those that ignore the cry of the poor. So, if we have an opportunity, Jim Lynch used to always say, God will always give more through me than He'll ever give to me. If we have an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody and we pass it up, it just might be the next week or so, or who knows, down the road, you'll need it and God will pass it up. Amen? We don't have to run from loving your neighbor. We don't have to compromise to do that either. You know, I think we get the idea that it's a compromise if we treat people good when they're doing wrong. But would that make God a compromiser? Because He treats us good. He's always good to us. Amen. But, you know, and I'm not all about lifestyle evangelism, but your life does preach to people. I mean, the Bible says, work out your own salvation. Your actions ought to match your words in your life. If you're talking about the love of Christ, you should be able to show it. Not only should be able to, we ought to do it. We ought to do it not grudgingly, but it ought to come, after a while, it ought to come almost automatic. Amen. Isn't it amazing that God still works on us? He doesn't just quit. I got a phone call the other day, and a fellow on the line was trying to sell us something for the church. I asked him if he knew where he was going when he left this world, and he said he hoped and he wanted to, and then he said, I've got kids, and I'd hate for my kids, for me to die and them not know where I was at. And I remember I was looking, we got these wooden beams across the ceiling in the kitchen, and I was looking at that beam, and I can still, like it was right there, it just hit me. There's a whole family lost and on their way to hell. It hit me like it's never hit me before. I mean, the Lord just worked me over. And it's sad. There's a whole world full of people that hope and wish they could be good enough. Like this is some kind of a Disney movie. You just wave your magic works wand and you might get in. And the truth is, they're going to die and go to hell if they don't get the truth. I look back over the years and think all the opportunities I wasted and destroyed by being mean to telemarketers. Amen. Amen. God's probably afforded me the opportunity a million times to witness, probably thousands of times to witness telemarketers. And just recently I realized that I've messed that opportunity so many times and allowed me to witness to a lot of people over the phone. And the interesting thing is that the first thing they start out with most of the time is this is a recorded conversation or a recorded call. And you're thinking, I wonder how many people are going to hear this. You know? Or how many other people are going to hear they called the Gateway Baptist Church and somebody slammed the phone down. Well, we can't slam the phone down anymore because they cost $1,000. But you can push that little red button. You know? Talked to a little girl named Celeste that worked for Spectrum. And she was trying to sell us the internet to the church. We need the internet. We got the phone. That's more than we need, probably. But so, got to talk to her about the Lord. And then she said, you made my day. She said, nobody's ever told me that before. You realize how many churches they call? In a year, these businesses call. And that little girl says, nobody's ever told me this. Then she gave me her number. She said, you all need anything down there? So I waited about a week and a half, called her up. I said, you probably don't remember me. Pastor Gateway Baptist Church. I said, we talked about the Lord and how to get to heaven. She goes, oh, yeah, I remember. I said, you take care of that business? She goes, I couldn't quit thinking about it. She said, all day long it was on my mind. And yeah, I trusted you. And I'm like, praise the Lord. And the Lord's like, yeah, look at all the times you've wasted. I mean, think about what we waste. That's going to be, I believe that's going to be a big part of the judgment seat of Christ where he says, yep, you hung up on that one. I was trying to get that. That one was looking for truth. That was low-hanging fruit. And you kicked it off the tree. So it could rot on the ground. Amen? Instead of being loving and long-suffering with people. Because honestly, the first thing I thought when the guy called, this other guy called, he said, I'm from Guitar Center. And I'm thinking, oh, this ain't a rock and roll church. I about said we don't need anything. But I thought, the Lord said, shut up, dummy. Amen. I'm not sure those were his words, but that's what it felt like in my heart. And that's what I did. I shut up. But then he gave me an opportunity. I'm telling you, we can grow toward the Lord if we give him the opportunity to do it. You know, I say that to say this. I'm your pastor, and I'm learning every day how far away I really am from where I should be. Amen. That's because God loves us and he wants to show us that. We're never going to get where we should be in this world. We're just not. But will we keep approaching that? And look at the opportunity just by loving people and not telling the truth. Loving people is not saying, well, you know, I know that you and, you know, you're a female, married to a female, and that's fine. And that's not loving people. Loving people say, well, you know, the main thing is you need to get saved. And then let them tell them about Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit have a chance to do something. Amen. instead of just chopping their ear off, kicking them in the ditch and saying, go to hell. I don't like your sin, go to hell. What if God did that to us? Well, we might be on this verse for a while, because I tell you what, he's worked me over lately on this stuff. But look at the opportunity. Man, he's just been given opportunities. Got the witness. I'm praying for the Lord, give me somebody to witness to today. Y'all, Brother Jerry, we've been praying the same way in the men's prayer meeting, because the Lord had afforded us a lot of opportunities, but the doors are kind of closed down on a lot of things last year. And we're looking for opportunities. I got to witness somebody before I left the house. Amen. And I was thinking about a no-call list recently, because I get so many calls about this stuff. I'm thinking, no, praise the Lord, call. If I'm in a good mood, you're going to get the gospel. If I'm in a bad mood and the Lord works me over just right, you're going to get the gospel. Amen. You know, the good thing about it is, if you're in a bad mood, you do what the Lord tells you to do, you'll be in a good mood afterwards. Amen. Because that's why you get in bad moods. We don't have any joy because we're out of the will of God. You know, it's not because we're down at the bar or the whorehouse or the crack house or any of that. It's because we're not doing what God called us to do most of the time. You don't have to be in some terrible, egregious, public known sin to be out of the will of God. Amen. You can be out of the will of God and you're lazy boy. Amen. We could be out of the will of God in church, singing, oh, how I love Jesus. You're like, yeah, but you didn't love the guy at the gas station. You didn't give him a track. Amen. We got more opportunities than we ever think we have. We just overlook a lot of them. I'm not saying that to preach down to you. I'm preaching to me, because the Lord's really been opening my eyes lately on the opportunities I've missed in my life. And then, you know, nobody gonna listen. They listen over the phone. I listen to them do their spiel, and then I say, well, I don't think I'm going to be interested, but I'll give you a couple minutes. Why don't you give me a couple minutes? Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Where are you going when you leave this world? I'm surprised. A lot of young folks are interested. Because you look at this world, you think young folks don't care. They're poking holes in themselves. They've got ears with hula hoops in them and all this stuff going on, and tattoos on their eyeballs and all this stuff going on. You're thinking, nobody cares. You start talking to young people, and you know what you find out? They do care. They're not the ones that don't care. The ones that don't care are the blood-bought, born-again believers and aren't telling people. God knows what he's doing. That wasn't an accident. There wasn't an accident that Travis from Guitar Center Professional called Gateway Baptist Church that day. You know how many people are probably calling from Guitar Center and how many different people are calling? God just lined that up. He said, I got this knucklehead that's saved, and he might be in the right heart, have the right heart today and actually witness to this guy. Let's go ahead and give it a shot. Amen. I don't know if he calls you a knucklehead or not, but I know me and the Lord are on a first name basis. He's Lord and I'm knucklehead. Amen. But if we just slow down a little bit, you know, in our unselfishness, we're so proud and selfish, and we're so important. You ever look around at people and watch how they run around like ants? They've been running out of their anthill, and think, all these people are dying, going to hell one of these days if they don't get saved. And they're just running around doing what they do. They're worried about going to the soccer game and the basketball game and the baseball game and who's going to win the World Series, and they got to go to work, and they're going to get their bonus check, and Christmas is coming, and Easter, and all this stuff, and they don't think about eternity until the end. But some of them are. Some of these young folks are. That amazes me. But you know what that fellow said on the phone about that Guitar Center guy? He said, I got kids, and it really bothers me that if I would leave this world and they wouldn't know where I was going, why was that? That's a good thought. That's a good thing to have. The Lord's working on him. The last thing I remember telling him was, if you just trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, after going through plan of salvation, you'll know where you're going. You can tell your kids you know where you're going. And by the grace of God, before you go, you'll know where your kids are going. Amen? If we just do what God's called us to do and love people, care about their soul. You don't have to like their flesh. Care about their soul. I don't like mine, amen. but care about their soul. It's going to be an interesting thing one of these days to see what God did with everything that we did do. But it's going to be a sad thing to see what he would have did. He would have done what we were supposed to do. But we'll see. My wife, I don't know, she's laughing at me. Long suffering, honey. Are you missing that part? No. She's long suffering, believe me, 20 some years. But this whole, you know, that one track you handed out and you didn't want to, that one witness you gave and you didn't want to, the one time the men went to the jail, the ladies went to the jail, they didn't want to, the one time the ladies met together and Nancy's having a bad day and everything's going crazy and she still shows up, and then they encourage each other, and one of the ladies leaves and goes to Walmart and witnesses to somebody that she wouldn't have done if it wasn't for the ladies being together. All these things that we don't understand what's going on, God does. And one of these days, he's going to show us an amazing thing. And we're going to understand, I believe, the way he understands what was going on. We'll be able to see the big picture. And I think it's going to be tremendous to look and go, wow, you did that with that? That track that the guy threw down on the ground, you blew it down the road, somebody else picked it up, they got saved, they become a preacher, they become an evangelist, they become a missionary, they become a good church member that wanted to serve the Lord, and they started handing out tracts, they led 75 people to the Lord. I mean, I'll tell you what, we got things to look forward to. But if we're not doing anything and we're wasting all the opportunities, we also have the judgment seat of Christ to look forward to. And I don't, boy, what a shame if we wasted all these opportunities, Brother Jim. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And that's just what we can see. Amen. Who will not hear be heard by the Lord, excuse me? Those who ignore the cry of the poor. Anybody out there that's lost is poor. And a lot of the stuff they're doing that's not verbal is a cry for help. When you look around at folks and you look at what they're doing themselves, it's not because, a lot of them, because they hate God. They just don't know God. And somebody tell them, let the Holy Spirit do the job the Holy Spirit wants to do. There are people out there that are still hungry for truth. They've just been misled, confused. Proverbs 28. Verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Whose prayer is abomination? Those that turn their ear from hearing the law. Now we understand the law's purpose as a schoolmaster to point us to Jesus Christ. But he also, in Psalm 119, calls his word statutes and law and judgments and precepts. And if we as saved people are turning away our ear from hearing the truth and living like the world, our prayer does not excite God. Amen? What you put in a plate doesn't excite God if you're living like the devil. Amen? You know, sending $50 to Haiti for somebody to drill a well doesn't excite God at least if you're living like the devil. He wants us to be following his word and submitting to it and pleasing him. If we're pleasing him, everything will fall in place. All right? It's all about him. If it's all about him, honestly, in the morning when I first get up, the phone rings and it's one of those numbers you don't recognize. It's not usually all about Jesus. Thankfully, I get up and pray and read my Bible first, very close to the first thing I do, because without that, it would not be about Jesus at all. Amen. I get up in the morning, and sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I'm not a morning person. Yeah? Or an afternoon person, evening person, or sometimes a week person, sometimes that day or week. Praying and reading that book will change your heart on things. Good place to start every day. Then when we call out to God, He can say, well, you're pleased. You can get to me because of my son, and you can please me because of my words, if you follow my words. Right? That's what He said. That's what He looks at. Look at Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now there we go. We nail down. Let's look at what the verse says here in number 6 in our study first. Who will have mercy from the Lord? Whosoever confesses and forsakes his sin. So what we're really looking at in the last part of that verse, confessing and forsaking, is true repentance. Repentance is not just a change of mind. Repentance is a change of heart that actually changes your direction. Now, I understand that we struggle, and you can come up here to the altar, and from the heart, you can get right, and 3 weeks later, you can be in there, 3 days later, you can be in the same mess you were. I understand that. We do. We have troubles and struggles. But if you come up here and your mind has changed and your direction has no change at all, you aren't repentant. That word repentant, that signifies it's talking about a turning from. You know, people who say, "Well, I got saved, and then what?" I don't know. I never went back and smoked crack and done this and done that. Are you really saved? Because if you have a repentant heart, which is what repentance is necessary for salvation, amen. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a repentant heart, there's going to be some change, at least for a period. Amen. I'm not saying the devil won't get back in there and offer you up all kinds of bad things that, you know, and he knows exactly what to offer and when to offer it. He knows when you're not praying, knows when you're not reading your Bible, he knows you're besetting sin, he knows your weaknesses, he knows when you're all right with this sin and when you're weak toward the other sin. He knows all that stuff. I understand that. Been saved long enough to know, have some idea how the devil works, amen. But when you come to Christ, you say, look, I love you, I don't love my sin. I don't want to be that way anymore. Then you actually quit doing it, at least for a season. That's repentance. Repentance is not just words. It's like love. Love is not just words. Love and charity. Charity is the action of that love. It's a giving without any expectation of receiving. And repentance is being convinced, convicted, and then making a decision, not just with your mind and your mouth, but with your heart, that you're going to do something different. You're going to go toward God. I know this is wrong. I'm getting away from it. Amen. I don't think there's that much real repentance anymore. I really don't. I mean, most of my experiences with saved people, I don't think saved people know how to repent anymore. Amen. You got so many people out there that are like, well, you know, repentance is, you know, once you get saved, you never repent again. You're a mess, then. There are Baptist preachers teaching that kind of stuff. Oh, you never have to repent again. That's a one-time deal. No. 1 John 1:9. That's talking to saved people, too. Amen. We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That repentance is a turning away from. You know, and then we talk about separation. And it's good to be separated from things, but true repentance, separation is separating from the sin and to God. I tried to tell the guys all the time in prison over the years, when you get on your face before God and you tell Him you're not going to smoke crack anymore, you're not going to use a needle anymore, you're not going to drink the booze anymore, you're not going to smoke the dope anymore, you're not going to smack your wife anymore, you're not going to steal anymore, find something to glorify God to replace that with, or the devil will. Amen. So they, you know, they, oh Lord, I'm gonna get off that heroin needle. And the devil says, yeah, but you know, that marijuana's not bad. Matter of fact, it's legal. Most places. So then they decide, well, I'm a pothead now. I'm doing the heroin, I'm doing good. No, they're not doing good. They're just in a different trap of the devil. You know, if they truly would turn from sin and turn to God, and don't leave that time empty for the devil and the flesh to fill, because they will fill it. Busy. Get busy for the Lord. Pray. Pray more. Read your Bible more. Call people up. Text them. Whatever you got to do. I think calling them is better. Call them up and tell them you're praying for them. Call them up. Tell people you love you haven't talked to in 6 years or 6 months. And do something for Jesus Christ. Because if you're struggling with something and you just turn your back on it, and you're not turning to replace it with something good and godly, you're not really doing much. Amen? You're not gaining much. We are a mess if we don't fulfill God's desires for us by doing right. Eventually, we will take that time and waste it on ourselves, our flesh, and give it to the devil. It's important to not just turn from, but turn to Christ, honoring, glorifying things. And I know I'm talking to folks that have been around and serve the Lord and understand a lot of this stuff, but it's good to refresh our memories on this stuff, amen? It's easy to get complacent and forget about, you know, I remember when I quit this and how I did it. It's easy to forget that and just get right back in the rut and just battle a sin forever, amen? Most of the time, saved folks spend their life battling their flesh instead of actually battling a battle for souls. That's disheartening, amen? If I spend all my time trying to keep me in line because I haven't followed the Lord's will, then I'm wasting the time to actually be doing what He's called me to do, which is witness to folks. Amen? And then we get the idea, oh man, if I just go 3 days without that sin, I'm victorious. Yeah, but what have you done for the Lord? Amen? You got a half hour that you know that you shouldn't be wasting? Go do something for the Lord. If you don't have a sign and you got cars that drive by your house, we'll get you a sign. You go home and you get bored, stand out front with the sign of your house. Say, well, only 10 people went by it in that hour. Well, that's 10 people that got to read a sign that wasn't up. He's inside sinning. Amen. So, well, I don't sin at my house. Well, if you're just sitting around doing nothing and I just offered you a sign, now you're sinning, amen. You don't take it. No, but we've got opportunities. We just need to take advantage of those opportunities. Or am I the only one that can waste time and opportunities? Well, I don't think so. I think you all are just as good at it as I am. You just don't want to admit it. Amen. Some of y'all may rival me on that. I don't know, but I guarantee you we do. We waste a lot of time and opportunities. Who will have mercy from the Lord? Whosoever confesses and forsakes the sin. Forsake it. Boy, the Lord's long-suffering and merciful to us, but one day, if you quit forsaking the sin, that chicken's going to come home to roost. Amen. And that's where the sowing and reaping is. Why not get it under the blood of Christ and go on? I personally believe that the blood of Christ eliminates a lot of reaping. Amen. Just get under the blood of Christ when you're convicted. And who knows, but you may not ever reap anything from that. He might just say, clean slate. Or he could say, you're clean slate, but there's still some problems. I know preachers that got saved off a heroin needle, and they lived for the Lord, loved the Lord, witnessed, were all over the country, all over the world, missionaries and everything else, and ended up dying of some disease that was hooked to their abuse from before. But look at the mercy God showed him from point A to point Z. Amen. But I believe a lot of times he never does. A lot of times we do have crop failure, amen, because of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Let's read Isaiah 28:13 again, and we'll wrap up. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So if you're just covering up, nobody knows about it but you, it's not just you, it's you and the Lord. And you're not going to prosper. And that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing in the Old Testament. They were wicked as the devil, but on the outside everybody looked at them and thought, man, they've got it figured out. Those folks are, man, they are a religion with shoes on right there. That's what I want to be. But the truth is, a lot of the folks were cleaner on the inside than the Pharisees were. They were cleaned up on the outside. They were covering their sin. They were covering it with robes of man instead of the blood of Christ and going on. And that's the thing. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to waste our lives like that. And believe me, when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to answer for this church too. Amen. And I'm looking forward to, because I think the Lord's blessed us with some good folks here, and I'm looking forward to see what the Lord says. Man, you would not believe what I did with this person and that person and this person and that person and this person. And then there's going to be a whole list of my goof-ups, amen. Y'all probably got your own list of my goof-ups by now, but there'll be a list of the Lord's, and they're always right, amen. And he'll say, man, you, or he'll say, knucklehead, you, drop the ball here, drop the ball there. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. And then finally when I scrape my face off the floor, or he lifts it off the floor, says, you can get up now. I said, man, I'll tell you what. Jerry and Mac, Jerry and Scott and Robert and all down the line and all the way to the front row, he said, you would not believe. Let me show you what I did with the tools of Gateway Baptist Church. Amen? The tears will be gone then, amen? Those tears are going to be shed over me. The joy will be over what God's done with you guys. Amen? That he let me be a part of any of it. But I'm excited to see that one day. Especially when he finally does peel me off the floor. That's where it'll be, right there at his feet. Feeling about that tall. Face down, in tears, apologizing. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, what I wasted. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for a Bible, Lord, that we could come to church and meet together. And boy, that the preacher doesn't do it. The teacher doesn't do it. Your word, your spirit does it. You work us over, Lord. Thank you for it. And Lord, I'm glad you've given us a Bible. Lord, we have it, and we still get to be a mess. We'd have no hope at all of doing anything to bring you honor and glory or satisfy you or please you for a second without your word. Help us not take it for granted. Bless the service coming up. Have your hand and power on it. In Jesus' name. Amen.